You may want to say thank you to everybody that's made our stay thus far so welcome. We appreciate it, and we're so thankful for the people of God. Amen. I tell my children that from time to time. You know, God's people are the best people in the whole world. We wouldn't have anything if it wasn't for the church and for the people of God. I really mean that. Amen. And appreciate all the saints of God as well as your man of God and his family. And amen. Just love the Lord today. 1 Kings 17, verse number 8. And the word of the Lord came unto the man of God, Elijah, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Amen. I have a very simple message this morning, and I'm going to preach with the help of the Holy Ghost. God's chosen vessel for a miracle. God's chosen vessel for a miracle. Amen. I really believe that God has chosen vessels that he wants to work miracles in. And don't ask me how he does it. I don't understand all the ways of God. I've already preached it since we've been here. His ways are past finding out. I can't figure it out, and it's not my job to figure it out. Amen. I don't understand why, amen, he does what he does and who he does, amen, to what he does to them, blesses them and helps them. And Pastor Wurst, I got excited this morning. I was reading this morning in Ecclesiastes, and I showed my wife. Amen. Just, amen. He said, the preacher said, amen, that the Lord makes the wicked, he makes the sinners, amen, toil and work and store up so that he can give to the righteous. That don't excite you. I don't know what does. Praise God. Amen. Somebody's out there working today while we're in church. Amen. So we can be blessed. Amen. God's going to transfer that. I don't know how he does all that. I don't ask me how, but amen, God's going to take care of his people. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us one more time. Thank you, Jesus. We ask you that you would speak to us today. God, we've already sang that, and we mean that today. We want your word to come forth. God, we cannot do it without your grace to help us deliver it. We can't do it without the anointing of the Holy Ghost, God. We want you to do a work today. We want you to talk to us and help us today. Lord, in the name of Jesus, let your perfect will be accomplished in this house. And when we're finished and when we walk out, God, we want, oh Lord, to be able to say that you, oh Lord, had your way here today. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you. You can be seated. Amen. I've read, if you're familiar with the Bible at all, a very familiar story in the Old Testament. And I love reading about the ministry of Elijah and Elisha and the miracles that God used them to perform. Amen. The things that happened. And amen. It's just such an encouraging thing and an exciting thing to read about the days gone by where God worked in a mighty way. And I don't believe that He's finished. And I don't believe that His power has diminished. I just believe in the hour and the day that we live in. Amen. That God's still the same. His Word says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And He has not gotten weak as time has went on. Well, praise God. Amen. He's not, amen, different today than He was in 1 Kings chapter 17. He hasn't lost any power, any want to, any ability, any desire to help those that are in need. But, amen, He is the God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or we can even think. Now, I don't know about you, but I got some pretty powerful imagination. And I can think some pretty wild things. And you know, if you're like most people, every now and then you sit around and you daydream. And you can think some pretty wild things. And the Scripture tells me, amen, that, amen, He is able to do far above anything you can ask. Sometimes some things you don't even want to ask because it's too far-fetched in our mind. But the Bible says He can do far above anything you can even think. Oh, hallelujah. My. That ought to encourage somebody today that the God that we serve, amen, can not only do what I can ask Him, but even the things that I wouldn't even dare ask because I think it's too far out there. And I think it's beyond reason. God is able to do greater than even that, amen, above and beyond what I can think because He's that powerful and because He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And there's nothing too hard for Him. If He can speak the world into existence, amen, with just a word, amen, what could He do for you and I today in this service this morning? Amen. And so we jump right into the middle of a time, amen, in the Old Testament here when there was a drought and a famine. Because of the drought, and the reason for that was because there was a man of God that had started praying. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, sometimes it takes drastic things to get our attention. And God's people had strayed, and God's people had walked away from serving Him, and were serving false gods. And the preacher started praying, God, don't let it rain. Shut up the heavens. Amen, that there be no rain. He went and told old King Ahab, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years. Amen. My. Prophesied to him that the rains were going to stop. And the Bible says it happened just exactly like the man of God said it was going to happen. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. You need to take heed to the man of God in your life. Amen. Because what he says, amen, if he's in tune with God, what he says is going to happen. Well, praise God. That's the voice of God in our lives. Well, hallelujah. I know there's a lot of people who don't believe that nowadays. They just say it's my preacher. And I'll take what I want to take and disregard what I want to disregard. But I'm going to tell you, you're living on dangerous ground. Well, I'm an evangelist, and maybe I'm not supposed to be here, but I'm strengthening your man of God's hands today. Praise God. Amen. You're living on dangerous ground, amen, when you start disregarding what the man of God in your life is saying, because that's God speaking to you. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Don't tell me how to explain it all. And people say, well, that means he's more important or he's bigger and he can talk to God and hear from God. Well, I didn't say that. The Word of God, God made it that way. God set that authority up. God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to the people. Well, praise God. And then the people had to decide whether they were going to be obedient to the voice of God. Not to the voice of Moses. It was the voice of Moses, but the voice of God. Well, praise God. That's free. That ain't even in this message today. Amen. But somebody, you need to, amen, listen to the voice of God in your life. Amen. Praise God. It can mean the difference between life and death. can mean the difference between destruction and protection. Well, praise God. Oh, hallelujah. My, my, my. I'm not careful. I'm going to just hang the plow right here and plow. But, amen, we're going to move on. Praise God. Amen. And so Elijah spoke to Ahab and said, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years, so you better get ready for it. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And things got bad because the drought set in. When the drought sets in, I've never lived through a horrible drought. I've lived through droughts, but nothing like this, where it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Not a drop of rain for 3.5 years. And so all the water holes began drying up, and because of that, all the vegetation began to die, and because of that, all the livestock began to die. There was no food. It became scarce. And so, man, people began to starve to death. People began to hurt, and people began to be in want, but God took care of his man. I'm going to tell you, God's going to always take care of you if you'll be obedient to the voice of God. Oh, hallelujah. And so God said, hey, I've got a brook, the brook Cherith here. I want you to go down by the brook Cherith. There you're going to have water, and there the ravens are going to feed you. And so, amen, that's what happened. And the ravens brought him his meal. Amen, I believe it was twice a day. I believe that's what it was. And he had his water there, but the brook dried up. And God had something else in mind. God has a plan. God has it figured out. Oh, ain't nothing going to get by him. Well, hallelujah. You know what? We worry and we wring our hands because we can't see the future, but God sees the future. And he knows what's going to happen before it happens. He sees the end from the beginning. He knows. He knows what's going to take place. And he's got it all figured out. He's got it all planned out. And we worry and fret and make ourselves sick over things that we shouldn't. Amen. Because we're human. Amen. But God knows. Amen. Hallelujah. If we just trust in God, if we just have a little faith and believe in God, you know what? I get to worrying sometimes and I have to just tell myself, forget, quit worrying. God's got it all figured out. I'm just going to keep trusting him. I'm just going to keep walking with him. And if I stay with him, everything's going to be all right. Well, hallelujah. I don't know what the world's going to do. I don't know what those without the Holy Ghost is going to do. I don't know what those that don't have a relationship with God's going to do. But I'm going to tell you, if I stick with him, everything's going to be all right. Well, praise God. You know what? The church is going to be victorious, so I'm just going to stay with the church. I'm just going to stay in the church. I'm just going to, well, praise God. Church is going to make it, so I'm just going to stay in the church. And so, amen, God said, I was reading this a good while back, and it really jumped out at me. I never really seen it in this way before. I read this, amen, setting of scriptures many times and this story often, but I never really seen it in this way before because God says, all right, now I want you to go to Zarephath because I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And if you just read that in our language at face value, then, amen, God has spoken to a widow woman over here and told her, you're going to take care of the man of God. And that's the way you would think. But the Bible says Elijah took his journey and he got to the gate of the city where this woman lived. And there she was. Imagine that. What a circumstance. What a, you know, coincidence. She was right there. Oh, God knows how to do it. And so she was outside there at the gate of the city, and she was gathering sticks to build a fire. And Elijah said, hey, would you go get me something to drink? Now, you got to understand, water's pretty scarce. I don't know, maybe they had a good well there or whatever, but water's scarce. And she didn't bat an eye, and she went to go get him a drink. And on the way, he stopped her and said, oh, and while you're there, why don't you bake me a cake? And bring it to me. And she stopped at that request. And she turned back around, brother. And she said, I'm going to tell you something, mister. You know the reason I was out here is because I was out here gathering two sticks. Now, that's not very much optimism. Two sticks. I've never built a fire with two sticks. I built a lot of fires, but never built it with two sticks. That's not a very big fire. That's not a not much optimism. That shows where her thinking is. She's telling this man how bad it is, all right? I came out here to pick up two sticks, try to find two sticks and build a fire so I can go back in and bake me and my son, which is the only ones that's in our house, just us two, and build a fire to bake a cake for each of us, and we're going to eat it, and we're going to die because that's all I've got. I'd like to help you out, but that's all I've got. And Elijah began speaking to her something. So this right here shows me that she didn't know. Okay, that's what I'm saying. The scripture, the Lord said, I've commanded a widow woman to feed you. But when he got there, she didn't know what was going on. She said, we don't even have enough to feed you. I don't know what you're talking about. Even though I come out here to get two sticks to make two little cakes, we're going to eat it and we're going to die. It's all I've got. So if you go back and you begin to look at that and understand what that there is in the translation, it basically just means I have chosen. I've picked somebody out. I've set it up. I've got it lined out. Somebody's going to take care of you. She may not know it yet. She may not realize it yet, but I've picked somebody out and I've chosen somebody to take care of you. Oh, hallelujah. And that's what I want to preach today. Here was a woman that didn't know what was going to happen. All she knew is I've got enough meal and enough oil, amen, to make me and my son a little biscuit, and we're going to eat it. That's it. We're going to die. We have nothing left. And she could not see the future. She didn't know what was going to happen, but God had already chosen this woman. God had already, in his wisdom and in his, amen, all-knowingness, had already picked her out to work a miracle, not only to sustain the man of God, but to sustain her and her son in the process. Hallelujah. Can I just tell somebody today, you might not see tomorrow. You might not understand what's going to happen next week. All you may see is the problem staring you right in the eye, and you can't see beyond it. But I'm going to tell somebody, I feel in the Holy Ghost today, God has chosen you. God has picked you out. God has ordained that a miracle happen in your life, that a miracle take place in your family. Praise God. You may not know it. You may not can see it. You may not understand. All you may feel right now is emptiness and pain and heartache and whatever. Amen. Because of the circumstances surrounding you. Amen. But I'm telling you, somebody needs to get ready. Amen. To rejoice. Somebody ought to, amen, take heart today and understand that God, hallelujah. God knows what he's doing. God knows, amen, how to take care of us. God knows how to work a miracle and bless and help and sustain. I may not see it. I may not understand it. Oh, but God's picked somebody out. Woo, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't know how long it took, amen, Elijah to walk to her house from the time that God spoke to him, amen, but in God's time, praise God, God already had it figured out. God already had it planned. God already had it figured out, and this woman was worrying, and this woman was fretting, and this woman was trying to figure out how they were going to make it, and she didn't know, amen, this is going to be it. Me and my son's going to eat it. We're going to die. This is it, but all through that time, God was saying, don't worry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't worry. Maybe he wasn't telling her directly, but amen, can I just say it this way? In the mind of God, it was, you're fixing to see a miracle. I've already chosen you. I've already picked you out to work a miracle in. Amen, you may not understand right now. You may not can see it right now, but God already had spoken to a man of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm not just trying to hype somebody up today. I'm preaching what I feel in the Holy Ghost today. Amen, God's already chosen somebody. Amen. God's already picked somebody out. Can I just give you a word from the Lord today? Amen. God, amen, wants to speak to somebody today and say, you're a chosen vessel for a miracle. You're a chosen vessel for a miracle. Amen. The situation may be dire. The circumstances may be extreme. Amen. All you may see, amen, is the here and the now. Amen. But God knows the future. All you may see is your little bit and your inability, but God knows how to take that little bit and make a lot out of it. God knows how to take, amen, nothing and make something great out of it. Amen, you need to quit fretting. You need to quit worrying. Just go out and get your two sticks. But I'm telling you, God's going to make a way when there is no way. God's going to work a miracle out of nothing. God's going to do it. And you're going to know it's God because you're going to understand that I had nothing left but a handful. I had nothing left but one more meal. I'm telling you, God's going to get the glory for it. Amen. A preacher's not going to get the glory for it. A saint's not going to get the glory for it. An organization's not going to get the glory for it. A group of people's not going to get the glory for it. Amen. But God's going to get the glory because He's going to do it His way. And when He does it His way, everybody's going to see, even the world's going to know, amen, that God did it. I'm telling you, when God does it, He does it right. Praise God. I don't know how He's going to do it. I don't know when He's going to do it. And neither did this widow woman. She, amen, thought she was going to die. But, amen, while she was walking out to the gate to get a couple of sticks, a man of God was walking toward the gate with a word from God. Woo, hallelujah. And while you're walking, amen, the way you're walking, God's, amen, sending a word to you that's going to make all the difference in the world. Hallelujah. Talking about God's chosen vessel for a miracle. Oh, praise God. Don't ask me how He does it. Don't ask me how He decides to do it. But God just said, this widow woman over here with one son, amen, that's getting ready to eat her last meal and die, I'm fixing to work a miracle in her life. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't have to do it that way. He could have sent Elijah on to another stream somewhere and had more ravens bring him food. But He said, there's somebody over here that needs a miracle, and I'm going to work through her. Amen, to work a miracle. Amen, for the man of God. And in the process, she's going to have a miracle. Oh, she's going to be blessed. I'm telling you, God knows how to do it. God knows how to put it together. Amen. You can be seated. So even though she didn't know it, amen, God had chosen her. Praise God. Whew, hallelujah. She's already picked out. She didn't know it. My. How many times in the Word of God can we find this scenario played out? Praise God. She was already picked out. She was already chosen by God. Amen, for the miraculous to happen. I want God, amen, to choose me. Praise God. I want to see the miraculous. I want to see it take place. My. Amen, the Bible says Elijah got there and he told her the word of the Lord. Now, I don't see God telling Elijah these words verbatim. He just said, a widow woman's going to sustain you. So go there. But when Elijah got there, she said, I'm sorry, I can't do that for you. He said, you go and do it. Because God said, oh, hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Elijah knew that if she's going to sustain me, the meal's not going to run out and the oil's not going to run out. I'm going to tell you a word from God, Elijah said. The meal's not going to run dry. And the oil is not going to run out until God sends rain upon the earth. Woo, hallelujah. Praise God. Until God sends the blessings down. Until God, amen, makes a way, amen. Until God does it, amen, for everybody. He said the meal's not going to run out and the oil's not going to run out. So you go ahead and just be obedient to the word of God. Now she could have said no. If she'd have been one of those that just relied on her own intuition and her own wisdom. Instead of the word of the Lord. Well, praise God. Well, God didn't speak to her directly with the booming voice out of heaven. So, I'm not going to do it. No, God used a man of God. And she had to decide in that moment, am I going to be obedient to the man of God and go take my little handful of meal and my little bit of oil and make him a cake? Well, my son's sitting there wondering. Well, praise God. That wasn't easy. Well, I know it's a little quiet right now. It wasn't easy for that widow woman to take that meal seemingly out of her boy's mouth and that oil and give it to God first. I could preach on tithing right here, but we won't. But she was obedient to the word of God. And having nothing but a word from God, through a man of God, she walked back into the house and she took her little sticks that she'd gathered and she took that handful of meal and that little bit of oil and she made a cake and she baked it. And she walked back out to Elijah and said, here it is. And then she walked back in. I don't know how it all folded out, but she walked back in. And she looked. And there was enough meal in there for her and her son. And enough oil to make the cakes. And she made them. And her and her... Oh, what was only enough for her and her son to have a little cake each now had become one for the man of God and for her and her son. And the next morning when she got up and went to the meal barrel, there was enough meal in there for more cakes and enough oil. And I don't know if they ate three meals a day like we do typically, but she went back in there next time it was meal time and there was enough meal and enough oil. And every time she walked, there was enough meal and enough oil. While everybody else was starving, while other people, amen, didn't have the meal and the oil, God said, I'm picking this lady out because he saw something in her. Hallelujah. He saw an obedient spirit. He saw a willingness, amen, to be obedient to God. And he said, I've chosen this vessel to work a miracle in. And I don't know how long it was, but however long Elijah stayed there, the meal never ran out and the oil never ran out. And they lived the rest of their lives because a miracle happened, because God chose them. God chose her to work a miracle through. And because of her obedience, it came to pass. When they would have died because of the famine, they made it. They made it through because God chose. Chosen vessel. John 9:1. I mentioned this man the other day or other night whenever we were preaching, but hey man, John 9:1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? That was just the way that they thought back then. Man, if somebody had a problem, there was sin somewhere. If somebody had a physical problem, they were being judged by God. So they were, if you want to put it this way, they were very judgmental. Amen. And they're walking by a man that could not help the condition that he was in. He was born that way. He's born blind. But the disciples of Jesus Christ said, who sinned? Did this man sin or did his parents sin? What would it have mattered even if it had been the case? But that was just their attitude. And Jesus said, let me tell you something. Nobody sinned that this man was born blind. Praise God. He said, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Here's a man that was born blind, and he lived with it all of his life. But he was God's chosen vessel for a miracle. And that's the whole reason that it happened. Can I help somebody right now? You may be struggling with something and dealing with something that seems to be a thorn in your flesh, but can I just say, it could just be that God has chosen you to work a miracle in. I didn't even intend this, but I feel this right now. This ties directly in with what we preached on Wednesday night. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The things that we think are just terrible and horrible, and we question, why, God? Why is this happening to me, and why am I having to go through this? Even Job did. Amen. I don't understand what I'm going through. I don't understand why. Why was I even born? Why, amen, if I'm going to have to live like this and live my life like this, it might just be that God allowed it to happen so he could work a miracle in you. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody's having a hard time believing this right now and accepting this right now. But, amen, I'm telling you, God wants to work a miracle. Amen. And you can question all day long, and you can wonder all day long, and no doubt that this man born blind did. Why did I have to be born this way? Why did this have to happen to me? And he didn't know down the road that God was going to walk by him in the man Christ Jesus. Amen. It was all a part of God's plan. It was all a part of God's plan to work a great miracle in him so that he could understand who Jesus is, and he could know him firsthand, and he could know his miracle working power. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus said, nobody sinned. He was born this way because I've picked him out to do something special for him. Your problem might just be a miracle in disguise. Your issue might just be the hand of God at work and you don't understand it right now. But this preacher's telling you today that God just might have picked you out to work a miracle in. Amen. Don't hang your head. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't stress out about it. But just believe God's word is true. And just believe God's got your best interest in mind. He's not here, amen, to beat you up. He's not here to kick you around. He's not here to cast you down and cast you out. But God wants to work a miracle. God wants to do something special for you. God wants to heal. God wants to save. God wants to deliver. God wants to do the miracle. Abraham walked around for 25 years after God promised him a son. And in that time, God changed his name. While everybody else was saying, there's that old man that don't have any children. God was calling him a father of many nations. Oh, hallelujah. Well, I don't see it yet, Brother Brown. Oh, don't you worry about it. God calls things that are not as though they were. Ooh, hallelujah. Why do I call myself blessed when I'm having to face this, when I'm having to go through this? Don't you worry about it. Well, praise God. Don't get a bad attitude about it. Just trust God. Just believe God. Well, everybody else was pointing out, oh, there's that man Abraham. Look how old he's getting. And he don't have any children. He don't have no heir. Look, his wife's getting old. And they're beyond the time of childbearing. And he was walking around and God was saying, just don't worry, Abraham. Your seed's going to be like the stars of the heaven, like the sand by the seashore. I've chosen you. Praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm telling you, it's a greater miracle when there's opposition. It's a greater miracle when we say there's no way it can happen. Amen. You understand that Sarah was barren and God said he's going to be the father of many nations. You understand the next generation, Isaac's wife, Rebecca, was barren. He had to entreat the Lord. He had to ask God. God had to open her womb. You understand the next generation, amen, Jacob's wife, amen, was barren. And oh, why did that happen? I'm going to tell you, I think God was just saying, I'm going to get the glory. I said it was going to happen. I said he was going to be the father of many nations. Amen. And the world sees barrenness, but I see victory. The world sees a problem, but I see a miracle about to happen. Well, hallelujah. And so Jesus healed that blind man. All because, amen, he had chosen him to work a miracle. Amen. I'm coming to a close pretty quickly here. John chapter 11 tells us the story of a friend of Jesus named Lazarus. And, amen, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, three siblings, they were a friend of the Lord. He was very close to them. One day, they sent him word, these two sisters did, and said, the one you love is very sick. Would you please come? They knew that Jesus could heal. They knew he could. And so they asked him, please come. Amen. John chapter 11. He said, amen. His disciples wondered because he didn't go right away. And he stayed where they were for several days. And his disciples were scratching their heads saying, why? Why isn't he going? I don't understand what's happening. They asked him to come, and every time somebody else had asked him to come, he went running. I can't figure this out. He loves Lazarus very much. He loves Mary and Martha very much. Why is he not going? And finally, the Lord said, all right, it's time for us to go now. And they get to Bethany, the town, the village where Mary and Martha, Lazarus lived. And Martha comes running out to meet him. And she said, Lord, why didn't you come? He's been dead in the grave 4 days. When I asked you to come, there was hope. He was sick. When I asked you to come, you could have come and healed him. I don't understand why you didn't come. There was some, can I say there was a little bit of doubt in her mind, a little bit of frustration with the Lord. She was kind of upset at him. I asked you to come when you could have done something about it. In her mind, okay? When you could have done something about it, but you didn't come. And I thought you loved me. I thought you loved Lazarus. But he's already gone and in the grave. And now you show up. If she only knew. If she only knew the mind of God and why Jesus did what he did. Jesus said, I've chosen him to work a greater miracle in. Sometimes God waits because he's got a greater miracle that he wants to perform. We wonder why he doesn't come sometimes when we ask him to, when we need him to, when we want him to take care of the little problems. But sometimes God's got something greater in mind. Oh, hallelujah. It's not for your hurt. It's not for your pain. It's not so the Lord can watch you squirm and wiggle and be upset and fret. No, he's just got something greater that he wants to do. And so the Lord begins to talk to her and said, don't you believe that he's going to rise again? And she said, yeah, Lord, I believe that. The resurrection in the last day, he's going to rise again. And in the course of time there, Jesus said, take me to the grave. If they only knew. You see, we can't see all that, Pastor Wurst. We can't see the mind of God unless he reveals it to us. But Jesus is walking through the grave. And they're all weeping and they're all mourning. But Jesus is saying something great's fixing to happen here. I waited 4 days for this very reason. I'm fixing to show my power. I'm fixing to work a miracle like no one's ever seen before. I'm fixing to do something special in this place. Hallelujah. And in the midst of your tears today, in the midst of your turmoil, in the midst of your struggle and your doubts and fears and troubles and trials, I feel like Jesus is walking in. Whew. I feel him right now. I don't know. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, but I'm just going to preach what I feel. I'm almost through, but I'm preaching what I feel, and I feel the Holy Ghost right now. In the midst of your sorrow, in the midst of your difficulty, in the midst of your problem, you can't even see because tears are running down your face, and you don't know what's going to happen next. Somebody's walking down the road. There's a song that says there's a promise coming down that dusty road. I feel that today. There's a miracle walking down the road. Praise God. And you're scratching your head and you may be a little frustrated right now. Maybe you're even a little upset at the Lord. I don't know. Maybe you're where Martha was that day that said, I don't understand why you didn't come when I called on you. Lord, I'm a little frustrated right now that you didn't show up when I asked you to and when I could have really used your help. And now the stone's rolled over the entrance and it's too late. But Jesus walked to that tomb and course, we read where he wept and where he prayed. And then he said, roll away the stone. Open it up. Well, she said, no. You don't understand. This problem's far beyond anything we can do now. Don't open it up. He stinks by now. That situation is already come and gone. And there's no hope for it. All we can do is push on and do the best we can. But Jesus said, open it up. Somebody don't want to open up today and get vulnerable before God because you're worried about what's going to happen. And you think it's beyond hope. And you think it's too far. And you think nothing good can come of it now. And there's no point in opening up old wounds. Well, I'm going somewhere right now that's not in my notes, but I feel it in the Holy Ghost. You think there's no point in opening that up. I'll keep that behind the rock. I'm going to keep that hid. I worked hard to get it there, to cover it up, to get it out of sight. But Jesus said, roll away the stone. If you want the miracle that I want to perform right now, you're going to have to open it up. You're going to have to roll away the stone. This isn't how I intended. I didn't intend for it to end this way, but I feel the Holy Ghost stronger than I ever have right now. And I know where I'm at right now in the Holy Ghost. God said, open it up, Martha. If you want to see my power, if you want to see the miracle happen, you got to open it up. Don't keep it hid. Don't keep the stone in front of it. And so somebody was obedient. I don't know how long it took. I don't know how long Martha argued with the Lord there, but somebody was obedient and rolled away the stone. Oh, praise God. And then Jesus called out those words, Lazarus. He spoke directly to the problem. He called it by name. And he said, come forth. This was what I intended to do. This is why I waited. This is why I stayed where I was and didn't come running when you begin to call first. Because I had a miracle, a great miracle. I could have come and I could have just picked him up off the bed and healed him right then, right when you first asked. But no, I had something great I wanted to do. I chose him for a miracle. I chose him for a miracle that most of them people probably had never seen before. I chose this miracle. I know the dead had been raised before. Even in the Old Testament, the dead had been raised. But God said, I've chosen Lazarus to do something that most of these people have never seen done before. Amen. I've got a miracle that I want to do, a special thing that I'm going to do, something new, amen, that I want to do, amen, in this place. And so he called out in the one that had been dead in the grave for 4 days. Him walking out. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he said, loose him and let him go. The thing that was beyond hope, the thing that everybody knew just they'd never see again. Well, praise God. I'm trying to just be careful here today, and I'm trying to feel my way through this. I just want to be obedient to the Holy Ghost today. Something that you've buried, something that has died, and you've just wrapped up and put away and covered it up. And the devil says it'll never live again. It'll never be what it was. Well, praise God. I'm going to tell you, there's a miracle worker. There's a miracle worker in this house today. Can we stand right now? I've been preaching about God's chosen vessel for a miracle. It's time for somebody to trust God. It's time for somebody to have faith today. It's time for somebody to get vulnerable before God. Open yourself up. And let him touch what he wants to touch. You know, by nature, we want to hide the things that are an embarrassment to us. By nature. This is a totally different message, but I'm going to mess it up right here. So, the man with the withered hand, the withered right hand, came into the synagogue that day. He didn't come with the purposes of standing up in front of everybody so everybody could see him and his withered hand. Most people that have a physical issue don't like to brag about it. Show it off. He didn't come with the purpose of standing up in front of everybody, but Jesus saw him. Probably ever since that hand had been withered, he'd gotten tired of people talking about it. So that's the way people are. So he probably did his best just to keep it out of sight. Don't want to deal with it. I'm tired of hearing about it. I feel like somebody's there right now. If I can just keep it away and put away, I won't have to worry about it and deal with it. But Jesus, when he saw the man, said, "Stand up and come." Can I just say it in our words? And come up here. Come up here. And the man in that moment had to make a decision. Am I going to do it? And am I going to do this where everybody sees me? This isn't how I normally am. I'd rather stay back in the crowd. But he walked up to where Jesus was, and then Jesus said those words that may have kind of made him cringe a little bit. He said, "Stretch forth your hand." "No, Lord, you don't understand. I keep this thing in my pocket because it's not something that I'm proud of. It's an issue that I have. I don't want everybody looking at that." But there was something in the heart of that man when Jesus spoke those words. He took that hand. He stretched it out. And immediately, when he stretched it out to Jesus, it was made whole. God, I feel like God wants to do that for somebody in this place today. I don't know what the issue is. I don't know how long it's been going on. I don't know if it's a spiritual thing, if it's a physical thing, if it's a mental thing, if it's a... I don't know, but I feel like somebody's here today and God has chosen you to work a miracle in. You didn't come here this morning understanding that or knowing that. You came here this morning saying it's another Sunday morning and we're going to go to church. But the Lord, in his wisdom, somewhere in time said, "I've chosen that person right there. I've chosen this vessel right here to work a miracle in." But you're going to have to be obedient to the word of the Lord today. Can we pray right now? Martha, you're going to have to roll away the stone if you want to see the miracle. Gentlemen, you're going to have to stretch forth the problem if you want to see the miracle take place in your life. You can stay there, Martha, with the stone over the entrance. And all you'll have is a memory, the way it used to be. You can stand back there in the back with your hand in your pocket, sir. And you'll continue living with it. Or you can be obedient to God's voice today. And let God work the miracle through you that he wants to. Everybody, can we please pray right now? Come on, can we talk to Jesus right now? Jesus is walking in this place right now. Jesus is walking in this place right now. Do you want to be the vessel that He can work a miracle in today? You're going to have to push doubt aside, unbelief. You're going to have to tell it to go right now. And you're going to have to, can I say it this way, just step out in faith and believe the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm through preaching. I'm just trying to encourage somebody right now. I'm done, but can we just reach out to Him today? I don't know how you want to do it, if you want to step forward to this altar, to this front, if you want to stay in your pew, but however you decide to do it today, with somebody that wants a miracle from God and that believes the word that you've heard today, would you reach out to Him with all your heart right now? Would you just get vulnerable in the presence of Jesus right now? Somebody needs to open some things up that you've tried to hide, tried to keep behind the stone. Jesus is saying, open it up. Please open it up and let me work a miracle. You don't have to. It's your choice today. But if you'll open up and let God put His hands on it. You don't understand, Brother Brown. I've been hurt. I've been hurt. I've been burned. Oh, I know exactly. But if you'll just open up and let Jesus put His hands on it, He won't hurt you. My, my, my. Somebody needs some emotional healing today in this house. You just don't understand what I've been through and the situations that I've lived through. And I just try to keep it put away and try to live my life the best I can. If you want emotional healing today, open it up and let Jesus touch it. Let Him take it today. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church, let's let God have His way right now.